fish are biting or where the birds are flying, it's talk about how to go get them. On the water and in the air with your host Randy Eggermeyer and Lynn Jurens.
they're just rehashing old times.
He whips out this picture. Lynn does. He was the homecoming king in
Christmas
in Toronto. That looks like it was back in, must have been about 85?
87. Don't age me. How old do I look?
You look like you're 12 on the picture. 40, yeah. All a buck 30 of him right there.
All buffed up.
really? That suit you could find it over at the Goodwill right now.
I think that picture was after about 4 weeks of fall practice. You know, how do you put on weight? We didn't have these acceleration programs back in 1987.
Now, how did they come up with the king? They just flip a coin?
Yeah.
You and three other guys, pick a card.
Oh, yeah, you know, you run your tail off. They didn't have these eating programs and all this food, you know, so... What am I sitting there at? About a buck 72, maybe.
You were not even that. You're a buck 30 at most.
Oh, no.
Turn sideways, stick your tongue out. You look like a zipper.
Hey, I was 6'3". I had to have at least 150 pounds on me, didn't I?
Somewhere in there.
Oh, that's funny. Facebook is a crazy place.
I know, it's crazy.
So I just made a little joke towards my skinny friend, Pam Tiefenthaler, that was sitting right there, standing there. Her maiden name was Pam Strasburg from Toronto. Mm. That's not the Toronto homecoming. That's Dubrock. Oh, come on, get it straight. That's Dubrock. That's Dual County and Brookings County. Don't you know that?
I'm going to bring in a picture next time of me in my rock and roll days. Long hair.
Oh, you've got to do
leather
that.
Leather pants.
You've got to do that.
Nikes with a swoosh. You know, armbands all the way up to my elbows.
You know, we were at the Chamber of Commerce banquet on Tuesday night, and Dual County was represented well. We had a whole table full
good
of them.
Good for you.
Yeah, Dual County was represented well. We had two boys from way up on the northern edge and one kid from the southern edge of Dual County. They grew up 2 miles from the northern part. Let's see, Shan Cruz and Tim Peterson. And I grew up about 2 miles from the southern border of Dual County. Down there in Toronto, they went to Grant Duel Wildcat. Woo. What are we talking about today?
I know we got Neil. I think Neil's on the. He's on hold. He's been on hold. He probably hung up on us already.
Oh, he's there.
Is he?
Oh yeah.
Oh man.
Are you with us there, Mr. Jensen?
Yes, I was just interested in listening to how you became homecoming queen,
Grant. Did I say queen?
Yeah, I think so.
I'm sure he did. I'm sure he did. He's got me wrapped up in his chair. He's got my cord wrapped. He's drinking coffee for the first time in his life. I told him now that he's turned 50, he's got to drink coffee with us.
Yeah, all right.
Are you 50?
You're 51.
51.
Yeah, that's what he needs, Neil. Throw some coffee in him, and now all he needs is about two big bottles of Mountain Dew today.
Well, I don't drink Mountain Dew anymore, but
he's on the wagon with Mountain Dew.
I haven't done that since the first of the year, but speaking about Wild, Neil, he had his championship down in Platte, and
who won that, Neil?
Yeah, I don't know. How bad we did.
You know, the humbling part of fishing is that it doesn't always they don't always cooperate.
No, it doesn't. What really made us look like fools is we had a bunch of fish in the boat, three of them by 7:30 in the morning, and cut them loose.
Ooh, the gamble didn't pay off, did it?
No, we caught 15s and 16s, and we're looking for bigger fish. You know, it's a one-day tournament, swing big or go home, and we went home.
grab a map and a day old sandwich and hit the road, right?
That's exactly right. She was ugly down there. The bite shut down overnight and we couldn't find the fish we'd seen before. Although we never found a lot of big fish, we found better quality fish pre-fishing, and that morning was terrible, and what won the tournament was 9 pounds, so we maybe threw away some placing fish, which
Ooh.
Really aggravated me.
Ooh, 9 pounds. Isn't that a tough bite? Huh?
I got to tell you this, though, Neil. I saw the results, and you were tied for 11th.
Oh, I know.
And that's how many people did not catch fish.
Yeah. we had fish in the we had one fish in our live well at the end of the day or in our cooler, and I just said, that's it. I'm not weighing this. We're on the road.
Yeah, there was only 10 teams that caught fish that I saw. And it's really weird. There's always one team that finds them and figures them out, you know.
Yeah, I talked to Falds and Darren Lewin. I know them two real well, and they kind of reiterated what I said. She was a struggle. They couldn't find the fish we were on.
What was the program? You had a good program going on. Did the weather change on you, or what made them turn?
It was fish, the temperature change. You know, it got so darn hot last weekend. Yep. I think it caught those fish right in the middle of transition. You couldn't find them deep over the trees, and they weren't quite into them shallow spots yet, so they weren't grouped anywhere.
So how did
we really found was one and twos. It was never a bunch at one time.
Pre-fishing, no, you did catch a few, but it just wasn't stacking up.
Well, yeah, we actually caught some live bait in Five Mile Bay where we won it last time we were down there. And we were finding some fish over the tops of trees, but she was getting a little ugly. And I just think with that weather, you know, it got so cold for a while, and then it warmed right back up, that those fish are just confused, just like we are.
So that kind of puts a finish on the Elite Series. So you guys are finished up with that. What are you, do you have any more, anything else going on yet this year with, you know, Team Shields being out there and seeing what they can do?
I tell you, we have, as far as competition, we're done for the year. November 12th and 13th, though, I'm speaking down at Shields with Brian Brosdahl and Jason Mitchell.
Oh,
we're doing
bro.
Ice Fish Fest down there.
Ice fishing seminars at that.
I'll tell you what, Brosdahl.
We're going down.
Absolutely.
We're going down. We're gonna do a radio show down there.
We should.
Is that on the weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday?
It is Friday and Saturday.
We'll just go down and tape the show.
That'll be fun.
But, you know, bro, there's one guy that can catch ice fish and fish right there. You know, he's put some time in the water.
Oh, he's one of the...
He's a fine
all the fishermen
bluegill
in the world,
fisherman.
He's one of the nicest guys around.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He's from Cass Lake, ain't he?
A little town, Black Duck.
I know it's up in that neck of the, not, yep. up in that neck of the woods. I know that he
Black Duck, I think, is a town of about 100 people nestled right in there between Winnebagoshish, Cass and Leech.
Yeah,
it's right on the west or on the east end of the Leech Lake, if I remember right.
Yeah.
Right. So you got that coming up in November. I'm sure you got to get your ice fishing stuff ready.
And are you on the agenda for the National Professional Anglers Association meetings this year?
Yeah, I am. I'm a speaker on Saturday morning for about an hour talking about how do you transition from a passion to profession and how do you get your online. Basically, what's your personal brand? How do you get your personal branding up to where it needs to be to get out and get your name recognized?
Building an online
profile?
Profile, yeah, with social media.
Yeah, building online profile and then trying to figure out who you are. You know, a lot of people try to come up with this personal brand, and they try to give an image that isn't them, and they can't live up to it, and they fall short. You know, you've got to figure out what you're good at, what makes you unique, and hammer it home.
I've met a couple hundred of them on this fishing circuit.
Oh, there's a lot of them out there that, you know, that are, they're, you know, the thing is, Neil, there's people out there that are absolutely great fishermen, opposite of me, and they can't market themselves for nothing. Now you got people that really stink on the end of the stick, like me, and apparently you're blessed with a little bit that you can talk about it. And, you know, it seems like that's a better route sometimes.
It absolutely is. You know, when I signed on with Shields, they basically said, we don't want to see you never be in the top end of it, but that's not our most important deal. Our most important factor is to make sure that you can represent our products and our company the way we need it represented.
Exactly. And that also...
That's the message I'm taking.
That also includes not only how you act and operate in the fishing circuit, but when you're out in the real world as well. Because you're always representing, you know, that company.
Absolutely. You go out in that boat of mine, and there's no doubt who I'm representing. And if I act like a jerk when I'm not in the tournament, it'll get back to them, and I can't afford that.
Or if you act like a jerk when you're in the tournament. I've seen a few of those guys out there, too.
Yeah, I have, too.
You know what? You want? I'm not going to name them, but here's... Here's a classic case of what we're talking about. Earlier this year, we had a win, and I'm not going to say where it was because it would not be very nice. But we had a National Walleye Tour event winner, so the upper pro-am division of the walleye fishing world, supposedly. And we put the winner on, and then in the second half of our show, we put the second place guy on. Let me tell you, the guy that won second place, Dave Van Os, was absolutely a phenomenal interview. The fella before, great guy. He just didn't know what to say on the. He just didn't know what. He wasn't prepared. He goes, yeah, they say I know how to jig, but I want it trolling. Okay, well, expand on it. He didn't say anything. It was like
interviewing a real shingle.
No.
Okay, did I say that out loud?
Sometimes they just don't know how to talk back. I mean, not here. We're not bashing anybody because the guy's phenomenal. He's a great fisherman. Great guy. But really has a long ways to go and may not ever have it. So that's kind of some of maybe what we're talking about here.
Yeah, and, you know, when I first started fishing tournaments back in the early 90s or mid-90s, there was a lot of egos around. There were some names I could throw around right here from the state that were just hard to deal with. And it kind of ruined me. I didn't get back into it for years. And now when you get in there, there's more of a camaraderie, and people are at least able to talk to everybody. Everybody's pretty much on game day. They're after everything. They don't give out anything, but they're friendly. That is what we needed in this profession. You know, that fishing got a bad rap in the late 90s and early 2000s from all the egos floating around. And that's, we've pretty much taken care of all that, it seems like.
Well, a lot of those egos, they kind of got either pushed out or they just financially couldn't make it because nobody would back them. And then they're putting all their money in, and they're putting all their money in the basket to go out and fish, and they just, and nobody would work with them. You know, and that's what it's about in the fishing world, too. It's not all about you spending all your time in the water. A lot of people work with other teams as well, and you got to be very, very friendly to do that.
Well, and all in all,
if you don't have a friend in this business, you're pretty much, you feel like a man left alone on an island.
Oh yeah, and there's still a few retailers that are kind of in that same boat, so to speak. Forgive the pun, but I mean, they've eliminated a lot of the fishermen that have the ego, but, you know, they've eliminated a lot of the retailers. And, of course, there's still a couple out there surviving at being a jerk. But, I mean, it'll take care of itself. There's so much information. There's so much communication. There's so much, there's so many ways, like on Walleye Central, like on, which isn't anything that's a perfect way to do it, but there, you know, I saw a boat deal go really, really haywire here about 2 years ago on Walleye Central, where, I mean, somebody from out of town took some pictures of the work that got done. He gave that boat dealer 3 or 4 or 5 opportunities to fix it and make it right, and they basically told him to go get a hike. You know, thinking that he was from 300 miles away, who are you? Well, let me tell you, the battle waged on.
Absolutely.
And it's all because, you know, it used to be communication was all about maybe a few phone calls, but after a while you'd get bored of making a few phone calls. Now, Facebook, online blogs, online Walleye Central types of places.
Simply enough.
If you're not controlling your online presence and your online brand, somebody else is controlling it for you, and that's the last thing you can afford.
And exactly, Neil. You know, you can get online. I could type in Neil Jensen and learn everything I want to know about your resume in the walleye world. You know,
You can find out anything about anybody. So to have that out there, you have to control what information is out there and deal with it. And if you have a customer that's 300 miles away, you know, bad-mouthing you, you got to figure out, did I deserve this or not? And if you didn't, try to figure out a way to fix it. And there's plenty of ways to do it. And if you come to Wisconsin Dells in January, I'll tell you about it.
Yeah.
You know, there you go. A lot of people.
How many are they expecting there? Usually a couple hundred, a couple 300?
They've had huge crowds, haven't they, Neil? 300?
Yeah, last year was 500, I think, and we outgrew Minneapolis, so that's why they're moving it to Wisconsin Dells.
Because we went to the Minneapolis. Was that the Minneapolis one you and I went to before? And then we had a little Ranger meeting there. And
yep.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was an absolutely great show. It's
crazy. My member number is like 300, and I member fears, and now they're well over 1,000.
Oh, yeah, members. Total members.
Oh, gosh, yes.
And then the amount that are showing up to this is fantastic, too. It gives an opportunity to everybody see each other. Like Randy said, Ranger Boats has a breakout meeting so that they can get to, you know, the information out to their anglers that this is what we want to talk about. This is what we should be talking about at boat shows this winter. So it's a good time to just to kind of roll right into those sports show time of the year.
And you get an idea to see what's coming out.
Yeah, and it helps you sharpen your skills a little bit, too. You know, one thing, fishing is a fairly solitary business, and you don't get to talk to people as much as you like, and it's great in January to get together and share some ideas and just kind of get recharged.
It's usually the after January 1st, it's usually the first weekend after that.
Yep, this year it's the 8th, 9th, and 10th.
There you go, Wisconsin Dells, and all you need to do is be a member. So sign up, get your membership, National Professional Walleye Anglers Association. You can do the search on the internet. Old Google's a pretty easy tool to use, and attend that.
NPAA.net.
There you go.
Can't miss it.
You know, you talk about branding, you know, like you do yourself. Neil, tell us a little bit about what you've done to brand yourself that put you forward in the business.
First thing I did is I launched a website that was horrible. Now it's mediocre. I'm working on it right now as we speak. But basically, it's getting my name out there, developing an image, and my image is hardcorewalleye.com, and it's what the company I guide under. And it kind of explains how I fish, I guess. If it's raining and snowing, I'm probably out fishing, and if it's windy, it doesn't really bother me. I'm after it all the time, and we just have a great presence, and I'm new to the websites, and but after talking with Shields, they kind of said you need a website presence, and nothing too flashy, but make it true to yourself. So that's what we did.
So did you go to? Do you want to share? Did you go to GoDaddy? Where'd you head to start building your website?
I went to a Fat Cow, only because I liked the name.
Kind of like GoDaddy, Fat GoDaddies.
Yep. And I just got on there, and right away I just had a WordPress blog. It cost me $6 a month, and I launched it. And as it got going, I saw it was slower than I wanted, so I upped my hosting, so it's a quicker website. Right now I'm just starting Walleyes and Warriors, which is a foundation I started to take veterans, specifically disabled veterans, fishing. And I'm linking that website on there right now.
So you're learning as you go here. You're not a webmaster by any means.
Absolutely not. I spent hours in online classes at lynda.com.
There you go. See, I mean, and I say that because you know, everybody's saying, "Well, I don't know how to start a website." Well, if you have a desire and you want to, there's all kinds of things on the web. Even Lynn Jurens built a website this past winter. That took a lot.
Well, you know, and then the other things that we do, and Neil and I talked about this once before, and I can't remember the gal's name, but getting a good resume put together. You know, I don't know if that's, you know, Lynn, I know for a while you had a phenomenal resume that was put together. And
I wonder where it went.
Who's that gal that wrote them over in...
Sonia Pinkert was
Sonia
really...
Sonia Pinkert was the writer, yes. She's really... from Big Stone or something, mm-hmm. Ortonville.
Big Stone, no. Put her on the South Dakota side, man.
Yeah. And, and as a profession, she was doing that for a lot of professional anglers out there. And getting this this resume put together that you could bring with you and you could present to some of these businesses, if, you know, that say, hey, this is what I got going on. You know, would you like to be I'd like to be a part of your team. Would you like to be a part of my team type thing? And it's huge, you know, and putting together a good resume is, it's just like going on a job interview.
Absolutely. No, if you don't tell your story, nobody else is going to. And we kind of undersell ourselves on our resumes a lot. So it helps to have a second party take a look at it and say, yeah, you need to put this on there. You forgot this. And, you know, we shouldn't be humble. It's the one time where we should boast every chance we get because it's the only time we get to tell our story.
And that, in the fishing world, if you don't promote yourself, others will take you down.
Absolutely.
That's right. That's even just a better one.
Yeah. Just ask my friend Paul Steffens from this last couple weeks, poor guy. He did the right thing. He went right at it. He called the guy, and he goes, you are not telling the truth.
Oh, yeah, that's that whole ordeal about going into that other bay.
Yeah, this guy was starting to accuse him for hiring an excavator to dig a piece of road out up on Devil's Lake at the NWT, and it's like...
Dig out a canal so he can get in there to get fish.
Whoa. Later on, he started apologizing. He was going to quit fishing the walleye circuits because this kind of guy, he does this thing. It's like, wow. So, Neil, when you said you need to be in tune with your online presence, you definitely need to.
Well, good for Paul. There's no excuse for that.
Yeah, Paul is a fantastic, up-and-coming, hardworking, very talented fisherman. So it was good.
Newlywed, newly married, and newlywed,
and all kinds of good things. I mean, the last thing he needs is some guy from Michigan yapping off about him on Walleye Central.
Oh, he was blaming him for hiring somebody to dig out the canal so he could get his boat in there and get these fish.
Yeah.
And then somebody told him that it was illegal to catch fish up in there.
Yeah.
So he took it upon himself, which was the best thing he could ever do, to call the Game Fishing Park.
Of North Dakota.
And say, hey, listen, can I go up there and fish? And they said, absolutely.
And what's the story behind the $10,000 fine? They go, we never said that. We can't fine somebody $10,000 for going and fishing in a spot. Now, the guy who dug out and didn't get permission from the county to dig out a road, okay, now we've got, you know, that, but that's not our, that's, we're starting an investigation on that. As long as you weren't that guy, you're ready to roll.
Absolutely. And the bad thing about it is, now the guy that did all that stuff to give Steffens the black eye, he's going to live with that for a while. And
yeah,
that's one thing you don't want on your resume, Neil.
No,
this is a small community.
It is. Yeah.
It's amazing how it goes around. We're talking about it here in small town Watertown, South Dakota, and this happened up at the championships up in North Dakota. And I mean, we're talking to people from around the country were fishing that thing.
About a guy in Michigan. I mean, you think about that and how that gets online. You got to really watch how what you put out there.
Exactly.
Oh yeah, and he just thought, well, I needed to go air my laundry because this type of stuff needs to stop.
You know, and again, who's going to look? And there's a prime example. The guy's a great stick, but who's going to want to have that guy on their team promoting their product when they know that he's going to sit there and badger somebody like that?
Hopefully nobody. You know, I've seen this on Facebook where people blow up and say something stupid, and it doesn't seem to affect them the way it should. But I think that's coming around, especially with core companies. But, you know, Facebook's kind of the platform for idiots to give their 2 cents worth, and when they should actually keep it to themselves sometimes.
Well, defamation of character can happen really quick on Facebook, and I saw over $1 million claim on someone taking on a doctor falsely on Facebook, and they got her. Over a million. Over $1 million is what it's settled for. So, good luck, people.
Yeah, really. So, you know, talking about what you got going on, so that's basically what, you know, in a nutshell, that's what people do in the wintertime that are in the professional fishing world is they put together a plan, a resume, you know, and of course, then they eat healthy and get nice and fat, right?
No, we eat all winter up in this part of the country because we ain't got nothing else
to do. Right.
And now, Neil, I think I asked you this earlier. What's the scoop on the boat? We getting a new boat this year? You gonna get a Ranger? You gonna get a?
Excuse me. No. If I got another boat, it'd be Ranger.
You knew that was coming.
I don't know. I probably should. I just love this thing, and it's been beat to death, and I almost hate to see it go. But I probably will have to get something new next year.
You're going to have to. We spent a few hours and are just trying to get your windshield put back together about a month ago. He knocked that thing right off.
And I hit it way, I hit a wave on Bitter Lake yesterday, and I heard stuff rattling that I've never heard rattle before, so it might be time.
Oh, no, it's a windshield Randy helped you install.
No, we tightened that thing down good.
You got to get a real boat dealer to help you with that. You better head over to Doug Banker Marine to get that fixed next time.
I think he did a good job. The duct tape seems to be holding.
It's that Gorilla Glue. Come on, that's my secret. Gorilla Glue and a long screwdriver. You know. Well, as long as that side of the windshield's still on there, you're in good shape. You know,
yeah.
I mean, really,
it's not my side anyway.
Exactly. I was going to say, who cares? It's not your side anyways.
Well, we got a minute left here. We've had Neil Jensen on from Henry, South Dakota. You know, really, really changing the scene and bringing a lot of things to the fishing world that others haven't done. So, Neil, you know, last couple parting shots. What do you got going?
First of all, I appreciate that. Second of all, November 12th through the 13th, let's come down to Shields Ice Fish Fest and hear two great ice fishing speakers and one extremely mediocre one talk about ice fishing.
Don't talk about bros all like that. I'm going to call him and tell him.
Jason Mitchell, Brian Brosdahl, and then who else is going to be there? Jason Mitchell, Brian Brosdahl, and then who's the third one you were talking about?
Some guy from Henry, South Dakota.
I tell you what, if I live in Henry and I'm not going to go speak. It's got to be you.
Give him a guitar and a guitar and a microphone.
I'll tell jokes for an hour.
All right. Well,
and don't forget about the NPA convention.
Okay. Perfect. Thanks a lot, Neil.
Thanks for your time, Neil. Really, really appreciate it.
Another week of On the Water, in the air. Over to you, Randy Grimes, for top of the hour news.
All right. It is 8 o'clock. This is KSDR Watertown. Let's join Fox News Radio.